إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد, we begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted, the sublime, the most merciful and the bestower of all mercy, and the king and creator of all existence. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to guide, then none can lead astray. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses in His infinite wisdom to leave astray, none can guide. And we testify that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the only one in all of existence that is deserving of our complete, unconditional, unequivocal love, obedience and worship. And that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we testify also that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was His final prophet and messenger to mankind, sending peace and blessings upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his wives and his family members and his companions and all those who follow their footsteps until the Day of Judgment, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us in His mercy and compassion by including us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, I'm sure at this point now, almost 1 month after Ramadan, you've heard already a post-Ramadan khutbah of continuing after Ramadan. Encouragement to increase in your good deeds, to not return to your state before Ramadan. And even though we've heard it quite a few times, possibly from the beginning of Eid or from the khutbah before the end of Ramadan, it still helps to remember. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that. Dhikr, remind, فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The reminder benefits the believers. A sign of their belief, of their faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever they're reminded with the verses of the ayat, they benefit, they remember. And also because this was the state of the righteous before us, beginning with the Sahaba, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them, the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have many narrations about them and the righteous people after them, that for 6 months before Ramadan, they would be prepping for Ramadan, increasing good deeds, preparing for this holy season, for this special opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then 6 months after, revolved around them, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from them the Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us everything that we performed in Ramadan and forgive our shortcomings. Allahumma ameen. But the point being that we're drawing from this narration is that their year, their life, revolved around Ramadan, prepping for it and then evaluating after. Because this is how they viewed Ramadan. It was not just a limited season, a small window of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as many people today and throughout history have looked at it. They recognize the opportunity. They hear the ahadith. They hear the encouragement. So they increase and they do good. But then afterwards they drop off. They feel, I've fulfilled the Ramadan. I've done it as it's supposed to be done until next time. And this is a good thing that they recognize Ramadan. It's good that we see these blessings, these opportunities, we hear these hadith and we try to capitalize. But we're not capitalizing on the full opportunity if this is how we view Ramadan. One of the righteous was asked about people, what do you think of people that we've seen who worship in Ramadan and forget afterwards? That they come towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they approach Him, they come close in Ramadan, and afterwards they neglect. So he said, بِئْسَ الرَّجُلْ هَذَا. What an evil man that does this. That's not a good characteristic to have. Someone who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, approaches, comes closer in just a certain period of the year. Islam is not a religion confined to a Friday or a Saturday or a Sunday. It's not confined to a building. It's not confined to a season. It is a way of life. This is the reality of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. It was narrated also from Al-Hasan al-Basri that he said that the people who are steadfast, the verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about steadfastness, where he says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. And it's mentioned in two verses, one in Surah Fussilat and the other in Surah Al-Ahqaf, praising the people who are steadfast. In one verse, Surah Fussilat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who said, our Lord is Allah and remain steadfast upon this. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. The people who said, our Lord is Allah and remain steadfast, the angels descend upon them, meaning at the time of death, to encourage them, to be by their side, to support them, telling them, do not fear and do not grieve, do not be afraid, do not be sad, and receive glad tidings regarding that which you used to do. So Hasan Basri says about this verse, what is it that they used to do? What is the istiqamah that's being referenced here, steadfastness? That they were steadfast in speech and in action. That they did what they said, and they said what they did. They stayed true, they were sincere in their actions, and they remained upon that. It was also narrated from him that when he would hear this verse or recite it, he would make that dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us from the people who are steadfast. اجعلنا من الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who not only claim that our Lord is Allah and our deen is Islam, but who are steadfast upon that in action and in speech. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out to us in Surah An-Nahl, and he says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّتِي نَقَضَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ أَنْكَاثًا. He gives us a very illustrious example that I want you to pay attention to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, don't be like the woman who undid her knot, undid her thread, after it was strong, after she had sewn it and knitted it together. You know knitting, right? The old people, who, you know, the image of old people always knitting. This is what's being referenced here. So some scholars of tafsir said, this is referencing a literal woman. There's really a woman who used to do that in Mecca. She was known by the people that she'd spend all day knitting, making yarn, making thread, making knots, making designs. And at the end of the day, after spending all day doing this, at the end of the day, she would spend the night undoing it. So she'd tie knots in the day, they'd be strong, good knots. At the end of the day, she'd spend her time undoing them, just unraveling them. She was not well in the head, she was crazy. So it was known that this is the lady who does, that's all she does. She was mentally ill, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and our family. I mean. So he's telling the Muslims, don't be like that woman. And some scholars of tafsir said, there's not a literal woman, it's just an example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing forth. Either way, the example is clear. Don't be someone who puts effort, who strives. Knitting is not easy, right? To make designs, to make knots. Don't be someone who puts effort, who focuses, who tries, and then just undoes all of it. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about? He's speaking about our faith. He's speaking about our salah. He's speaking about our attitude towards Him. Don't be someone who started the path towards Him, took a few steps, and then turned around. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want that for you. This is not something praiseworthy. The same way that we all just heard this example of the woman and thought, why would anyone do that? What a waste of time. I'd hate for my life to follow a similar pattern, putting effort and it being useless. No one likes that. This is something that is a huge demotivation for us when we don't see results or when we undo our own hard work. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, this is your faith. And more so for us here in this topic, in this context, this is Ramadan. We all put forth effort. We all struggle. And we all tried hard, more than we did outside of Ramadan. So let us not be like the one who undoes their own work. On top of that, we have a narration from Ali radiallahu anhu that he says, you should be more keen asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your action than you are when you do the action. Why is that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively accepts from the pious, the people of taqwa. The people who recognize him, who are conscious of him, who fear him, who obey him, who love him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively accepts actions from these people. The people who do not fit that category of the people of taqwa, fear and obedience and consciousness of Allah, He does not accept from them. So, but the fact that Allah says this, you should be overly keen in this evaluation that we're doing now. And we hope to continue to do until the next Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to reach it and many more. Allahumma ameen. So you should be more keen in asking Allah to accept your action, because He's telling you He only accepts from the righteous, from the people of true taqwa. And it was narrated by many of the righteous as well, that they would say statements to the effect, if I were to know for sure that Allah accepted one action, and one of them said even just one sajda, not even a whole prayer, just a part of a prayer, sujood. If I were to know for sure that Allah accepted that from me, I'd be the happiest person in the world. It's worth more to me than the entirety of the dunya and everything in it. It's worth more to me than friends and family and wealth because of this verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He exclusively accepts from the people of taqwa. And there's no coincidence that this is the purpose of fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, the verse is about fasting. He tells us, O people of Iman, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. Fasting was written upon you. Allah has commanded you with it the way He commanded the people before you, so that you can attain taqwa. That's the purpose of fasting. It was meant to be a temporary training ground, a boost. Allah showing you what you can do through you, through your own actions, so that you can attain this lifestyle of taqwa, which is the purpose, which is the point. And we have to remember now, post-Ramadan, that the Prophet ﷺ, he warned us. He warned his companions and he warned us of turning away after taking the right step, abandoning a good deed after he had started. He told Ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, he told him, Ya Abdullah, la takun mithla fulan. Kana yakumu al-layl, fataraka qiyam al-layl. He says, Oh Abdullah, don't be like so and so. He used to pray the night and now he doesn't. It's a very simple reminder. Don't be someone who abandons good deeds after they became their norm. And also he used to say, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hawri ba'd al-qawr. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I seek refuge in you from turning to misguidance after being guided, turning to the wrong path after following the right one. And it was also narrated about him, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, إِذَا عَمَلَ عَمَلًا أَثْبَتَهُ. If he did something, he made it consistent. He made it his habit. He made it a normal practice of his life, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the hadith that we all know, that he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, إِنَّ حَبَّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَا دُوِّمَ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنْ قَلْ or أَدْوَمَهُ وَإِنْ قَلْ. He said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the most beloved actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not the largest in number. Not the ones that make the biggest splash. Even though these are good actions as well. But what does he love the most? The most consistent. Even if it is few. Even if it may appear insignificant to others. Even if it doesn't take that much effort, but it's consistent. It's something that you stay firm upon. That you show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you do not want to let go because you enjoyed it. Because you know that it pleases Him. Because it fulfills your purpose of existence, which is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Know also that it's a sign of actions to be accepted, to be better. And you know, there was one person once he was speaking and he said this in his speech. He said, if you are not better after Ramadan, if you are not keeping up with everything you're doing, then your Ramadan is not accepted. And that's a little too harsh. That's a little too strong. But it is a sign of Ramadan or any good deed being accepted that you are better after, that you do more after. Acceptance is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we hope and we pray that our Ramadan was accepted. But know for sure that is not a good sign if you do not keep up with at least some of the good, or if you are not at least better than you were before. And there's no point where it's too late, as long as you are aware, you are listening, you are conscious, you are willing to do something different. And the proof of that, there's many ayat and hadith that speak to this effect, one of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدَى وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَىٰ. The people who were guided, who accepted the guidance, Allah increased them in guidance. They got more. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them their piety, their righteousness. And He also said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذْ أَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announced, He made an announcement that if you are thankful, I will increase you. Meaning good gets an increase of good. So this is, you know, if this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is dealing with me and you, He's telling us if you are thankful, And you know, you really have to think about this for a second. If you are thankful for Allah's blessing, He will give you more. What are the sources of the blessings? Where do the blessings come from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. Who gave you the ability, all the faculties that you need, a mind, a heart, a tongue, eyes, to be thankful? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who guided you to thankfulness when billions of people are heedless? When a huge amount of Muslims themselves are heedless, Allah guided you to that thankfulness. And then after you thank, which He gave you the ability to do and the faculties to do and the guidance to do, then He increases you with more blessings to thank Him for. So the amazing nature of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how grateful He is when He deserves all the credit is something that should motivate all of us. And the scholar said, how ungrateful is the person who turns back after Ramadan, who got the opportunity, who came to the masjid, who prayed, who fasted, and then says that's enough till next year. That is not a, it doesn't fall in line with the gratefulness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the gratitude that He shows us subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, he also says that it's important to know that good deeds, righteousness and obedience doesn't have a time limit for the Muslim. He said rahimahullah that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَجْعَلْ لِعَمَلِ الْمُؤْمِنِ أَجَلًا دُونَ الْمَوْتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put a time limit. He did not constrain righteousness or worship for the believer except with death. Meaning his entire life. It ends, when's the time limit for righteousness, for good actions, for obedience and worship? It ends with death. But there's no season, there's no day which limits the actions of worship for the believer. They're constantly heading towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this in mind and with this realization of who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and what He deserves. So, to summarize all of it, and I'm sure you've already pieced together the point, is you owe it to yourself and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue after Ramadan. We have to change our outlook towards Ramadan and what it is and what should it do for us. We should constantly be in the state of introspection and evaluation in the week after Ramadan, the month after Ramadan, the month after Ramadan until we start approaching the season for the next Ramadan. Because Ramadan was supposed to be a boost for the rest of your year, the rest of your life, and not a brief moment of obedience or worship towards, you know, after which you just return back to normal life. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continually guide us, to guide our hearts, to keep us firm upon His path, to continuously allow us to witness Ramadan in better and better states until we meet Him in the best of states. وَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. A couple of things that we can do to continue Ramadan. But first, I want us to think of something. I want us to have a realization. It's from the amazing nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His mercy, His power, His greatness, that the sign for us to continue after Ramadan, the greatest sign or one of the greatest signs, is us ourselves. I want you to think about it. Who filled this masjid a few weeks ago? Who strove for their prayers? Who fasted a month straight? Who donated more than they do the entire year? Who, despite waking up in the middle of the night, despite the hunger, despite the thirst, despite the tiredness, who still came for Tarawih prayers? Was that you, this community, or was it some others that came for Ramadan then they left? And they'll come back next Ramadan. That was you. You were the one who did all of that. And I want you to remember how sweet that felt. You know, it's really an amazing blessing that after Ramadan, we think about it so fondly and we talk to each other. Remember when we were in the rows and we were praying and in the middle of the night and I had work the next day and the kids were making a ruckus. And despite all of these things that would sound negative to someone else, we remember and we reminisce with delight and satisfaction in our hearts, remembering that feeling, wishing it would come back again. That was you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest blessing, the greatest miracle is that He showed you you can do more, you can enjoy worship, you will enjoy that path towards Him. He showed you that through you yourself and what you did in Ramadan. And this is a huge blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To encourage you, He sent you a snapshot of you yourself in a better form, telling you this could be you all year round. increasing year after year. And that's a level of piety and consistency that most of us say, oh no, I can't do that. And that's okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ask you to fast 30 days in a row besides Ramadan. He will not ask you to come to the prayer, the night prayer, besides Ramadan. But He gave you a boost up and beyond what He asked to show you that you could very well do everything that He asked. So think about how you felt. Think about the enjoyment. Think about the tranquility and the delight that you tasted despite the tiredness, despite the difficulty of Ramadan. Remember the dread you had before Ramadan. How am I going to manage with work, with the kids' school, with the exam, with the heat, with the thirst, and then how good you felt after you did that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here again that you can do it. Suppress the physical body a little bit and watch your soul rise. See how you feel, see how you enjoy it. Why do you enjoy it so much? Because that's what you were created to do. Because here, especially here in Ramadan, in these actions, you are fulfilling your purpose in life. That's why you felt so good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, don't you want to be like this all the time? Wouldn't it be good for you to try your best throughout the year? Instead of limiting this enjoyment, limiting this progress, this success to just 1 month of the year. You can do it all year round. So the first step to staying on track, to being steadfast after Ramadan, is to recognize in your heart that it's only possible through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If your Ramadan was terrible, a huge miss, wasn't as good as it should have been, made a lot of mistakes, then know for sure that you're in need of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saddidu wa qaribu, hit the mark, try your best to be 100%. If you can't, come as close as you can. But He knows, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that some people won't hit the mark and they won't even come close. So that's why He said after that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that none of you will enter Jannah through your actions. Know that your actions won't get you there. Ramadan won't get you there, and the whole year, your whole life will not get you there. Except through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, even me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if your Ramadan was perfect, it went as good as you thought it would, and even better, then know you are in need of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still nonetheless. Because at the end of the hadith where He said, even me, the best of the best, the most pious, the one with the most taqwa, I will not make it without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enveloping me in His mercy and His forgiveness. So this is the reality. So recognize that in your heart, that my guidance will only come through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tell that, say that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua, I can only obey you through you. I cannot begin to consider piety or righteousness or obedience if you do not allow me the opportunity. If you do not guide me and give me that tawfiq and that sincerity, and we all ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. So this is the first step. It's a recognition in the heart of the reality of things. I cannot start, I cannot put forth any effort, not just in this, but in everything, without the guidance and the success being decreed for me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then step two is to actually ask for it, to make dua. And this is something that the Prophet ﷺ taught us. Again, the most pious, the most righteous, the most God-fearing, the most obedient, used to constantly make dua, Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala dinik. Oh Allah, the turner of the heart, keep my heart firm upon your faith. Keep my heart firm upon your path. And he used to always say like that, we also already mentioned the hadith, where he used to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika bin al-hawri ba'd al-kawr. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I seek refuge in you from being misguided after guidance. He also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا كَنَزَ النَّاسِ الذَّهَبُ وَالْفِضَّةِ فَاكْنِزُوا هَؤُلَاءِ الْكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ الثَّبَاتَ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَالْعَزِيمَةَ فِي الرُّشْدِ. If the people take as their treasure gold and silver, you see them hoarding gold and silver, gathering physical wealth, then you, what you should treasure, what you should make precious, are these words. And he taught the Sahaba dua, O Allah, I ask you for steadfastness upon this matter, the matter of Islam, and for determination upon guidance. Make me determinedly guided, not half-half, not just one out of 12 months, not just one day a week, not just limited to certain places. Make me determined upon guidance. Have strong determination. And the third step is to have patience and determination, to evaluate yourself, to basically have discipline. And this is not a tip that you can give in just doing one action. It needs consistency. It needs knowledge. It needs sincerity. It's going to be a lifelong process of being patient, being disciplined, and being determined. So increase in your knowledge of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Increase in your recitation of the Quran. Increase in reading the stories of the Prophets. In there you will find patience and diligence, determination and discipline. And finally is to keep good companionship. So the first step to staying firm after Ramadan is to recognize in your heart that you need Allah to do that, and you can't do it without Him. Second is to begin to ask Him. So the dua that the Prophet ﷺ taught us is any dua that you can think of. Oh Allah, keep me firm, keep me going, give me the strength, give me the fuel. And third is to have patience and determination and discipline that you will gain through reading the Quran and reading the story of the Prophet. And lastly is to have good companionship. Remember how beautiful the masjid was when it was full with you, when it was filled with the community, when it was a hub for interacting and righteousness and encouraging one another. So remember the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where he said, "Man khafa adlaj," whoever fears leaves that night. Meaning whoever fears that they will not reach their destination, then they leave before the crack of dawn. They don't wait for daybreak, they don't wait for daybreak. If they're afraid they may not reach, they leave early. وَمَنْ أَدْلَجَ بَلَغْ And whoever leaves early will reach the destination. So this is the reality of our situation. We are afraid. We are in a rush. It's not something that, okay, next Ramadan. We don't have that luxury. We're afraid that we may not reach the destination. We don't have that security or that guarantee. So we must leave early. And the leaving early here is a metaphor for being prepared, for trying your best, for putting forth effort. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees that from you, you can guarantee, if it is sincere, that He will not leave you hanging. This is not who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. This is not what He does. So begin with the obligations. Begin with your five daily prayers. Remember that you've prayed a whole month for at least 2 hours in jama'ah, and then coming back in the last 10 nights for even more hours. So remember that and make it fuel for you to make sure you never miss any of the five daily prayers, and add as much sunnah as you can. Remember that you fasted for one whole month, 30 days almost. So if you throw in a couple of days fasting every month, that would be good. And you've already trained yourself upon that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciate it. Mondays and Thursdays are the 3 days of every month, the 13th, 14th, 15th of every Islamic month. Remember that you spent so much time reading Quran, trying to finish it once, twice, three times. You can finish it once every month or every other month or a few times a year. You can do that. Remember the amount of dhikr that you made, saying, making istighfar, making dua, staying after, you know, between the adhan and the iqamah, staying before fajr in isolation to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how sincere you were, how much it meant to you. Don't make dua isolated to Ramadan. Call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves that. The only one in all of existence, that the more that you call Him, the more that He loves it. And if you were not to call Him to ask others, He would be upset. He would be angry with you. This is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one else in existence is like this. Everyone else is the opposite. So be encouraged by these things. Turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Begin that journey towards Him. And know that this is the purpose of Ramadan. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed it. Because if at the end of every Ramadan, you're a little bit better, then every Ramadan is better than the last. And if that is the case, which will be the best Ramadan for you? If this is the evaluation that you do, this is the outlook that you have, and every Ramadan is better than the last, then which Ramadan will be the best for you? The absolute last one before you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it's always better. And you're always following up. So that case, in that case, you will only meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after performing your best Ramadan. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a reality for all of us. Also, simple steps that we will close with is, if you want to begin simply, you don't know where to begin, you feel overwhelmed. Again, maybe Ramadan did not go that well. Then begin with something very simple. Two things. Two items on your list, on your agenda. One is an evil action that you began Ramadan with, or was in your habit before Ramadan. Abandon it. Whatever it may be. Tell yourself, this action, this practice will no longer continue. Even if it continued in Ramadan. But make that a post-Ramadan evaluation point for you, a goal. And then one action that you know you're supposed to do, and begin with it. Say it will become my regular habit. I know that the most beloved of actions to Allah are the ones that are consistent, so I'll make this consistent. I'll consistently leave this action, and I'll consistently do this other one. And to me, this is an offering. This is a show of intent towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is my intention that I will be better, and I will try. And watch how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you. And then in a week or a little bit of time, you'll be doing two things and leaving off two things. And before you know it, every single month, every single week, every single year, every single Ramadan, you're incrementally better until you reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best of states. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continuously guide our hearts, to purify them of the rust that envelops them, to give us the strength to leave all the actions that are displeasing to him, and to give us the strength to commit to all the actions that are pleasing to him. Allahumma fa lil mu'minin wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat al ahya' minhum wal amwat. Allahumma arina al haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'ah, wa arina al batila batilan warzuqna ijtinabah. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanah wa fil akhirati hasanah wa qina adhaban nar. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmatan innaka antal wahhab. Rabbana ighfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman wa la taj'al fi qulubina ghillan lil ladhina amanu. Rabbana innaka rahimun. Sallallahu wa barik ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Aqim as-salah.